trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
These four short verses follow a parable that Jesus tells about a dishonest steward or manager who, when his job is threatened, becomes more creative in a dishonest way to preserve his possibilities. What he does is he reduces the debt that is owed by a number of people to his boss or to the rich man that he is employed by. And in the process, he preserves his own job in the long run, but also creates what Jesus calls friends with dishonest wealth. Sounds kind of like a modern-day financial event. You know, these days, for those of us who have a lot of unmanageable debt and we just can't deal with it, there are banks that will actually take half of the amount that you owe and will release you from that debt. We live in a society that has become all too comfortable with debt. I know I'm not telling you anything new. We all know this from an individual standpoint all the way up into governmental and worldly banks and financial matters. We live in a society where it's more common to pay for things when you don't have the money or pay for them over time than paying for them up front. Right? Would you agree with that? Hello? Yeah? You would agree with that, right? Yes. Yeah, so just the other night, Sandy and I, we're going to need to replace a vehicle and maybe two vehicles over the course of the next few years. And a few years ago, when we would go to replace a vehicle, we would go right to the car dealership and we would talk with the salesman, and then we would pick out a car, and then the salesman would introduce us to the financial person there, and we would set up a payment plan to buy that vehicle over the course of 3 to 6 years, depending on the price of the vehicle. But a few years ago, we both took a Financial Peace University. We participated in a Financial Peace University program, which is sponsored by Dave Ramsey. And some of you may know that name. You may have listened to him on the radio before. But we took this course, and at the end of that course, or by the end of that course, we decided that we would never again buy a car on time. Easier said than done. But we made that decision. We made the decision to pay off our debt, except for our mortgage, and to create an emergency fund, and then to begin to buy things with money that we had in our possession. That was the most difficult thing for us to do, to buy a new car a few years ago, 2010. And pay for it up front. But it was one of the most wonderful things that we did, because we literally did give us some some freedom in our financial matters. For the most part, Dave Ramsey says you should not buy anything on time. No credit cards. You should have an emergency fund, as I said earlier. And you should carry cash with you, or only spend the money that you have. Create a budget and all of these kinds of... Easier said than done, right? Can be done. But how about for individuals that don't have enough money coming in? That's a little bit more challenging, isn't it? I think our world and our banks and the whole system preys on those who do not have enough. This is true because if you have ever gone to get a loan, and the first thing they want to know is how much money you're making, and there are one of two things that will happen. If you don't make a lot of money, then guess what? Your interest rate will be, say it for me, higher. Higher. The less money you make, the higher your interest rate. When in fact, shouldn't it be, well, you don't make enough money, so we're sorry, but we don't feel like you're financially able to get into this vehicle or to buy this thing. But we live in a different world, don't we? We live in a world where we buy things ahead of time before we have the money, anticipating, as Gene said earlier, expecting that money will come in. So, Pastor Kim, why all this talk about this stuff? How does it relate to what we've heard in the scripture? This scripture really is not about debt. It's not even really about managing finances. It's about stewardship. It's about using what we've been given before it's gone. Jesus just uses this parable to get the listeners into the mindset to grasp what it is that he wants to say. He's talking to religious people and non-religious people, to people who have faith in a greater God and those who are not sure about that yet. He says this. Those of us who are faithful with little will also be faithful with much. And those who are dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? You see, Jesus is not talking about money there when he says true riches. If you haven't been faithful with someone else's property, who will give you your own? And finally, Jesus hones in on the issue at hand. You cannot serve. One cannot serve two masters at the same time. And he closes with, you cannot love God and love money, because they will become in conflict. And so all this talk about debt and investing and managing has to do with anything and everything that we have in life, including the gift of life. And let's face it, sometimes we can find ourselves maybe in a pit of despair or in a rut, and we forget about the gift of life, that life is a gift to us, both to be a blessing to us and to be a blessing to those around us. But the opposite is also true. We can find ourselves in a situation where we are trusting more in all the things that we have accumulated. And they give us a sense of hope and security. And it's not until when those things begin to erode away that we find ourselves coming back to that sense that, oh, there is one greater than all these things that I can call upon in my difficult times. A few years back, I met a man named Mitch, and Mitch was a member of a church, and he was a fairly well-to-do man. He had plenty of wealth, and he was secure, and Mitch was blind, and I don't remember if he was blind from birth, or I may not have ever known that, or if he was blind and at some point in life, and perhaps his wealth came from some sort of settlement because of his blindness, a disability or something. Don't know the answer to that, but Mitch was a very faithful man. He had a family, children, and he was in church every Sunday, and he was concerned about things like social justice and equality and fairness, and he was concerned about poverty, and he was a good steward. And Mitch said this, which has stuck with me throughout the years. He said, "It's not what you have, but it's what you do with what you got." Let me say that again. It's not what we have. It's what we do with what we have. Abraham Lincoln, thanks Gene for reminding me of his greatness with his face on the penny, but Abraham Lincoln said this, "In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years." You see, Jesus is reminding us in this parable and in his following statements that the profitable life has very little to do with profit, monetary profit, and so much more to do with how the things that we have been given are used to profit the world and God's kingdom. It's not our accomplishments that make us happy, rather it's our happiness that fuels our accomplishments. Jesus used his entire life, everything that he had in his possession, to give us life. He invites us to do the same. And each time, or if and when we do, when we try to use all that is in our life to give life to others, then we find life. We find abundant life. May that be so for each of us. I want to offer the invitation, because this morning as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, we are all invited. If you are not a member of this church, you are invited to the table. If this is your first time in a church for a long time, you are invited to the table. If you have found that over the past months of your life that you haven't lived up to the expectation that you think God has for you and you feel badly about that, you are invited to the table to receive a blessing from Christ himself through the bread and the cup of forgiveness, a love that cannot be stopped, that will never turn away. Jesus invites us all. So when we come to that place, I hope you know that you are invited to come up to whatever station. There'll be two in the back, two in the front. Come and anticipate and expect that love that will give you life and give you abundant life. Thanks be to God. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God who offers all.